Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you now? You think they really ready for you now? You think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking. Chris, shrinking, nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking, honorary degrees from Lincoln, I cross borders like those Sheikins and do albums in a weekend, I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling, I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking, the lies and the liars, I still make science, I still ride bands and say,
going over there. What's going on in Thailand, they won't talk about what our community is doing to each other, those folks about to eat each other live in all them countries, over in India, everywhere else, China, everywhere, I was looking at one of the Chinese stations this morning, and they were doing a documentary on all the children who were left behind, you know, kind of raising themselves, and you could see all the squad and all the things they were living in. I'm watching this, right? 61 million children over there in this particular province. They were over there, you know, you see the way they live in squad, and you see they left behind, their parents is in the city working and this and that. And I'm looking at all of that. And seeing how they are treating each other and things. And we don't see that. We just see this stuff. Why don't everybody get along? Why everybody have everything but us? Because those people leave them over there and come over here, and they take the moral authority, the physical authority, the economic authority, and we be saying, oh, look at them, because we want to put everybody above us. But if some of you take a moment and look at some of these international channels, why do you think all of them run over here? And then when they run over here, they take control of everything. Tell me what community other than the black community in this city is being destroyed. You got all kind of communities. North, they have come over, and God rest their soul. That's where they want to be. They're establishing their community. The government is helping them. And the only thing they do to black folks is put their foot on our necks. And they'll give a few black people a little bit, and then they said, now you got to join in with us to help keep them Negroes down. And when you come to the black community, you got to treat it like it's an outside place, like you're a social worker. That's not where you came from. But yet these other folks get together. They build Chinatown. They got little Italy. They got all these little cities. And you have neighborhoods and no communities. I'm going to do a study. You can help me, some of you, to deal with how many clubs we used to have and how many clubs and restaurants we have now to hear music. Just hear some music so we can do our craft. Can't do it. Everybody else's culture, they lifting it up. We don't have ours. We go out to go to somebody else's place to hear our own culture. Our children don't have music in school, don't have art in school. When are you going to get angry? And you can't get focused because you got these leaders redirecting your energy in the wrong direction. Our direction is wrong. Education, music is a spice of life, and education is the key. We have to have our culture, our music, and we have to have education. Our children are precious. And Rahm Emanuel, he's standing in the middle of some black folks, and he went grabbing Barack Obama, hugging him the other day. He's still going to be down percentage. We're not going to be fooled by not him and nobody else. 61 million of those kids over there in China living in squad. Have you seen that, how they living and stuff? And they come in and live like kings and queens, and we still live in squad like we something else. This government and this country have always systematically held us back and had a quota on us. And I don't care who's in the office. Y'all can get mad if you want to, because this government have never been friends to black America since we've been here. We built the country. We buy into that stuff about us being lazy, about we don't want to work. Slavery was yesterday. We don't even deal with the whole question. We made a country that everybody is coming over here and they're living in. And America is giving them every tool, every opportunity, building them schools, and everything else to make it. Now, why? Not some of the Arabs. The Arabs are white. Completely white. You got different folks who they join to do their population, and they got currency, and they have country. So America leveraged those populations from other countries with the presidents of other countries. So not only do they bring everybody over here and help build them up, they take our jobs and send them to other countries. But you're so busy being hard on yourself that you can't see the forest for the trees. And I'm not saying we don't need to deal with it. I don't hear nobody hollering, oh, just talk about themselves all day long. They talk about themselves. You can't plan. If you feel bad about yourself, then you don't think you deserve nothing. You feel worthless. And black folks shouldn't be in the business of making black folks feel worthless. Sure, we have problems. We have problems, just like everybody else. Just like them 61 million in this little province that I was looking at in the Chinese station, they sitting over there, how they don't have, how they doing, how they living, how they got the gangs. And they was talking about, well, the reason it's like this, they was explaining why they had so many problems over there is because they're not educating the children. We got to figure out how to educate them, and they don't have jobs. They had all these things, right? But that doesn't come for us. So you need to get up looking at one station all the time. All y'all look at is MSNBC. You got to be look and listen to everybody to learn. An intelligent person look and listen to more than one thing. Memorial Day is Monday, and that's why I'm sounding like this. And blacks have participated and been in every war in this country. We was in wars when we was in Jim Crow and in slavery. Every war, and have gotten nothing. So my question to you also, what do you think, do you know, black children, black youth are not enrolling, especially a lot of them in the South are going into the service as much as they did before, which means when everybody else is going in the service and they're coming out with benefits that blacks don't have. And that's a question about that too. So I salute those who have served in the service. Most of us have relatives who serve, or spouses and stuff who served. My children's father's a vet. But they came back and they did things. It's like we just have, I know, we don't supposed to have nobody else have more claim on America than we do. This is our country. We got a continent, Africa, but it's our country. We build it. And why in the hell do we allow anybody else to put more claim on it and feel like everybody have a right to it but us? Okay, y'all. You listen to Talk of Chicago 69 WVON. Our number is 773-591-6090. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're on Facebook. We're also on a Blog Talk. We're on group Facebook. And guess what, y'all? We are on iHeartRadio. I want you to listen to me. Talk to me. It's a lot to talk about. It's a lot to talk about. I don't like to make black folks feel bad. I don't like to mess, but I don't like black folks feeling bad. Get your coffee, get your tea, y'all. We got a lot to talk about. Come on back and talk to me. Dorothy Wright, tea, I'm a coffee, tea, and a conversation with me. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Greetings. This is Ava Muhammad. Join me every Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. as I discuss the major issues impacting you. I regularly have experts, celebrities, and activists on as guests sharing their insight and perspective. Most importantly, I invite you to join the conversation each and every Sunday and share your opinion at 4 p.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Who's got the hottest talk show in Chicago? We do. Perry Small.
I believe in snitching. I snitched all through grammar school. I was the biggest snitch you ever seen in your life. Perry, watch the class. I'd put everybody's name on the board. Sometimes I'd have a whole class with detention. I don't care. You're disrupting my space.
Perry Small, weekdays at 9 a.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Ladies, It's time for WVON's annual Speak Sister Speak Women's Business Forum on Thursday, June 5th. We'll be at the DuSable Museum of African American History, 740 East 56th Place, as we explore one of the most pressing issues facing career women today. Our theme, Operation Plan B. What's your next power move? From the glass ceiling to a leaner and meaner corporate America to becoming your own boss, women are exploring other options on their road to financial security. Be there when we present an inspiring panel of women business leaders. All the way from Dallas, Texas, see the dynamic Dr. Venus Opal Reese. Meet 21-year-old entrepreneur Jordan Gaines, who is building an empire one delicious cake layer at a time. See Fashion Fair's new president, Amy Hilliard, and powerhouse author Kimberla Lawson Roby. Speak Sister Speak is the ultimate girls' night out with a purpose. This exclusive event is open to only 100 WVON listeners. Ladies, log on to WVON.com and click the Speak Sister Speak banner to register. It all happens Thursday, June 5th at the DuSable Museum, beginning with a networking reception at 5:30 p.m., followed by the panel discussion. It's moderated by WVON's own Perry Small. Speak Sister Speak is presented by PNC Bank.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-642-8896. 1-800-642-8896. That's 1-800-642-8896. 1-800-642-8896.
Join the Harold Washington Cultural Center as we celebrate June Black Music Month with an encore performance of Cooley High the Musical live Saturday, June 28th and Sunday, June 29th. For tickets, log on to BroadwayInBronzeville.com or call 773-373-1900. Enter code WVON for a special community discount. This is one show you don't want to miss. Cooley High live at the Harold Washington Cultural Center, presented by Ed Ford Jewelers. See you at the theater.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this. So why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Mic check, 1-2, big poser coming to you faking it ever. Got no more games since I got with the juice. No cruising with my friends, they cut me loose. Now my coach is hating, parents keep berating. Good thing my team's still behind me saying, hey yo, what happened to my teammates, man? Yo, where y'all at, man? Come on, man, I thought we were family.
Ugh, don't be a poser. Hear more at don'tbeanasterisk.com. Brought to you by Ad Council and the U.S. Olympic Committee.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
Help more families learn how to budget and save.
I want my neighbors to have access to health care.
Help create opportunities for everyone in your community. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hello, doctor.
Hi, and who is this little girl?
This is Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa. What seems to be the problem today?
She's always sick. Always.
That's because she's a kid, and kids always get sick.
She keeps getting infections. It worries me.
You're a mommy. That's your job.
Exactly. That's why I worry.
If your child is repeatedly sick, it may be PI. Primary immunodeficiency, a defect of the immune system affecting as many as 1 million Americans. The only way to rule it out is by testing. Early diagnosis and treatment can prevent recurring infections from causing permanent damage.
I don't know. I think there is something wrong with her.
Take it easy.
Don't take it easy. Talk to us about PI. If you don't know what's wrong, you can't make it right. The Jeffrey Modell Foundation. Visit us at info4pi.org or call 1-866-INFO-4-PI.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Working for the other man, y'all. We still working for him without even knowing it. Y'all, this is deep, 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 deep. Come on, y'all. This is Dorothy Wright Timmer, Talk of Chicago. Coffee, tea, and a conversation with me. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're also on iHeartRadio. We're on Facebook, Group Facebook. We're also on Blog Talk. When you miss something, you want to go back, go on the Coffee Tea and look at the Blog Talk. You can get it, or you look on the Jimmy Lee Underground. I buy time on my son's Blog Talk. Jimmy Tillman got a Blog Talk where he does underground music and stuff. So I said, well, let me get some time on him. So that's what this board is lit up, and I know I got to empty it. And I'll tell you what we were talking about today, all the things, and how we are, and what's going on here. So I'm gonna go to the phone, and let's talk to you for a minute, and then we're gonna see. Mella Sam wrote some on Black History. I enjoyed your paper, Mella Sam, I read.
Yes, good.
Thank God good. For WVON.
And I have a lot more. This morning is going to be something really beautiful for Dorothy and her program.
You on the air, Mella Sam?
Oh, I'm on. Listen, I'm sorry. Dorothy.
Yeah.
You know who this is.
Mella Sam.
Yes, good. We're getting ready to celebrate a day called Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
Memorial Day is a fine thing to celebrate. But were you born 70 years ago, Dorothy?
67,
okay.
67
70 years ago. The most important thing that happened in the 20th century began.
What was that?
It was on June the 4th, 1944, when the United States, Great Britain, and Russia sent their troops into what was known as D-Day. That's the time they sent so many brave African-American soldiers into Germany
To save the Jews, right?
To save the Jewish people. That's
right.
What I'm fixing to talk
about. Uh-huh.
Now, that was the greatest thing that happened in the 20th century. And we never hear anyone talking about how brave our soldiers went into Germany, went into Berlin, fighting those Germans, freeing those Jewish people from gas ovens and from concentration camps.
You know, I found it interesting, Sam. You know, but most black folks don't understand is, and even then, they were sitting there and they would see these big old bright yellow something. They thought it was going to take a shower. Some of them willingly walked to the gas chamber and thought it was going to take a shower.
Well, listen, those Jewish people, they caught hell during the Holocaust. But the main thing now is we are into a Holocaust here in Chicago, Illinois, and those people said they weren't going to let the world forget the Holocaust after we helped.
You're absolutely right. You're right, Sam. Thank you, Sam. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Dorothy, and stay on the case, honey. You know I'm behind you.
Thank you. Well, you know, they said never no more, and our children know more about the Holocaust. We had to, I think the greatest Holocaust happened to black people. I mean, that's not to minimize anybody else, but to come across a transatlantic slave and to get over here and then to be denied access. We're the only group of people in this country that the government have made laws to suppress, oppress, depress, and they're still doing it. We're the only ones that the government have done that to. Cam, how you doing?
I'm good, Audrey Woman. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful.
Great, great. I was just kind of going to call and comment on the article that was being passed around that was written by Ta-Nehisi Coates in the Atlantic magazine called The Case for Reparations.
I need to read that because
it's a very long piece.
I need to read it, Cam, because you know what's worrying me right now? We got all these people that are talking about reparation and stuff, and like they're redirecting us. You know what I mean? In terms of
I do.
Some folks are redirecting because they don't. It's like a whole discussion to redirect, not from where you're dealing with the descendants of enslaved Africans in America. It's like
they're
wiping us away. Now I was in the Bahamas last March. I spoke to them. We were speaking about reparation. They wanted me to come in because they had taken my article and what I passed in Chicago and kind of fought for reparation. In fact, a lot of the America's people called Ebbett and got copies of that. So I think it's right for them to fight, but I think blacks cannot lose sight and we cannot get so integrated that we forget that we let America off the hook for what they did to us in this country because the evidence is there. It is here, and they can't deny it. We get deluded. The evidence is not there, and if we get it, then we can help. But we can't let everybody make us cross the water before we deal with it here in this country, what they did to us.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right, Audubon. You know, and one of the things with this brother's article, he's calling it a case for reparations. And one of the things what we're saying is we've already made the case, and
the case
has been settled. We don't have to make the case. Now we have to enforce our right to be repaired.
And that's what's
not being looked at. They're going back making the same arguments that we've made for at least the last 50 years.
It's subterfuge.
It's subterfuge. It's
subterfuge, Cam. Anytime blacks are
there. I believe so as well.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do next month is I'm going to have a roundtable discussion on reparation, and we're going to lay out some of the facts, and I certainly want you to be part of it, okay?
Well, thank you so much, Audrey Woman.
Thank you, Brother Cam. Thank you for staying on the case.
Keep reparations in the minds of the people.
Okay, thank you.
We
can redirect it, y'all. I'm sorry. We have a slave era disclosure law down there, and I don't even know how much Ron Emanuel is enforcing it. No, I know how much the Black Caucus down there is enforcing it, that you cannot do business with the city of Chicago unless you disclose your association with slavery. And I don't care, and it goes way back. You know, we stopped $1 billion or more from the Lehman Brothers when they was trying to do the Skyway because they didn't disclose. And then we dealt with J.P. Morgan Chase and a whole lot of other stuff. But they're down there, like, how did they let this railroad, Norfolk, come all the way through the black community? And we have not heard anything about that disclosure. You know, so I think that if we as a people in this country, the descendants of enslaved Africans in America, we have to make the case for us here. But somehow or another, they're getting us to get off of that and to get in something else. I told y'all, it's a lot going on. The Tulsa Massacre, I was there when they told them they should have filed right after the Civil Rights Movement. Everybody do anything to us and we take it. They're still fighting just for something. They needed one little line or two little lines written in what they were trying to do. They went before Congress and Nancy Pelosi squashed all this stuff on us. And don't let nobody make no mistake about it. All these people are getting a handout, a head up, and everything else, and you running around thinking something else. It makes no sense to me. How you doing, Katie?
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good. I've been enjoying your activities going on over there at the Harold Washington Center.
Thank you. Did you come to the gala?
No, I didn't come to the gala.
It was just so wonderful. Yeah. I want to thank all of those who came out. We had a great 10-year anniversary. We're still celebrating our 10 years. We had a great weekend that weekend, and I want to thank all of those people who came out to really, really enjoy and to celebrate with us.
Yes, I'm happy that that center is there, and I wish it to just grow and flow.
Thank you.
My comment today is that I agree with everything that you have got to say. I mean, as I get older, you know, I can just see it. This is just clear. The picture is so clear now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we should have a state of Black Chicago. I mean, we should have a group of our people from all parts of the city come in, and once a year we should report on the state of Blacks in Chicago.
Well, we got to do something. Have you noticed? Now, let me tell you, it was really interesting because I drive around the city, and I was sitting one day, I'm looking. Our community, the Black community, is the only community that's being destabilized right now. There's no other community in the city of Chicago that's being destabilized. When you look at what's going on in South Shore as they move people in and running folks away, the shooting and stuff, before it was Inglewood. Every day you heard about Inglewood. So when they took control of that land, you don't hear about Inglewood anymore. Now you hear about South Shore. And then you look at the schools and look at what they've done. It's like there's a game going on. But the sad thing, Katie, is that the leadership in the Black community lead the people off of the cliff by following what this man having us to say.
Well, just like you said before, they pay off a few, and then the other people who don't make themselves aware. You know, our people have to make themselves aware of what's going on.
Right.
We need to know everything, and we need to have a state of Blacks in Chicago.
Well, I think that's a good time to do it right now before time for those petitions, and we need to get all our young folks registered. We need to get ready to let folks know that we mean business. And while they're out there marching and shaking their booty, we need to be somewhere sitting and say, okay, how do we take back our community? Because we had a lot of shooting and stuff going on before we elected Harold Washington. But once we gave the community an alternative to see that things can change, if you remember, Katie, it kind of dropped, the violence dropped after we elected Harold and after we got the community in a direction that we should take it in. But there's money to be made off of violence. There's money to be made off putting our children in jail. There's money, these folks are making money off our people being ignorant. So that's what we got to stop all that, the mental, the psychological violence that they're doing to our people.
Yes, that's true. I agree 100%.
Thank you.
And bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, it's really been deep. So what I want to do is, the way I feel about it, I was going to play it, Courtney, but I think I might not, you know, when we wake up this morning, but I think I'm going to go to 9 first. I'll come back to it in a minute. I won't play. I wanted to play The One Who Loved, but I'm going to play about our children first and not right this second. I got to get Courtney to get it together because I was going to do it, and then I changed my mind because I went somewhere else. Rodney. Okay. All right. So I'm going to, you know, I saw them all out there dancing and talking. And, you know, after they get through, they're going to send them off to each grave for wrath. If we don't fight for our children and for their future, we're not fit to live. It's not about you. It's about the children. Because after they got through dancing, standing around rum and rum sitting, look, they're going to go off and eat the grave for wrath. This is for us, y'all. Charles Bevel.
Even though we don't, they know the reason. And the one who sent them, gives them gift to carry. Tell them, children, take your time, but do not tarry. You will all arrive but naked, equally endowed to make it. You should have everything you need when you get there. You should never
our children
have
should not be. That's right, our children should not eat the grapes of wrath.
You should never have to eat the grapes of wrath. God said, babies do not know how we are divided.
We have to take care of our children, y'all.
To send them never would have been decided. Red and brown, black and white is how we bought them. Rich and poor,
high and low is how we sought them.
Why do we make those distinctions when we don't have any clean? What each child will dream or how they'll share?
That's what they're doing, crushing all children's gifts.
Crush them just like we don't
no
care.
Education, no housing, no food, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we put them in jail.
You know we send them out to harm and scrape the bread.
We send our children to harvest the grapes of wrath, but we're not taking care of them, y'all. We got to take care of our children. Their education is important. Their security, their safety, their love that we have to give them. They're our babies. We just can't. I mean, if black men, black women. Then you call them bad because they're eating the grape of wrath.
So we all get in line for a young one. Some will grab 10 or 12, some will get none. And children grabbed by rich ones will be hampered. And the children left to poor ones will be hampered. Why do we act like a heathen? When every known religion.
You listen, preacher. Each and every child is in our care. They should never have to eat the grapes of wrath. All right, Courtney, they should never have to eat the grapes of wrath. Each and every one of those children not care. What I don't understand, I was talking to some people the other day, to my family, really, about growing up and the roles that the ministers played and the teachers and the leadership, that our whole community have got infested. It's not just the young men on the corners. It's the folks who made it off the backs of the civil rights movement. Of the New Age preachers. Something is wrong. We're infested from one. I was looking at folks just grinning like, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you. Just let me just sit here next to you because maybe some of the stuff will rub off. And they go back and laugh at us and say something about us. Talk about us so bad. It's deep. Rodney, how you doing this morning?
How you doing this morning, Alderwoman?
I'm fine.
I look forward to your show every week, and I love your spirit.
Thank you.
What I want to talk about this morning is, you know, I think the presidential library is coming our way. We need to get an enterprise zone, an entertainment district, or whatever you want to call it. We need to be in place to reap some of the economic benefits that's going to come from this.
Okay, well, that's a good thought. Thank you so much. Thank you. Plop, how you doing this morning?
W-Z-O-N, black, power forever. I'm fantastic. And how are you today?
I'm fine. I missed you on Monday. It was a great event.
Yes, I just wanted to wish everybody happy Liberation Day, African Liberation Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's tomorrow, you know, as well as happy Veterans Day. I'm a veteran from Vietnam, and we're going to be celebrating. We got jobs and businesses for the red, black, and green people at the Inner City Youth and Adults Foundation. That's the
that's on 45th and that's on 45th and Mission over Maurice Perkins, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
500 South Michigan.
Okay.
And we're there every Sunday from 2:30 to 4:30.
45th and Michigan.
Bill Hampton is going to be our special guest, and also the International People's Democrat or HUA movement.
Okay.
For more information, people can reach me at 312-671-2773 or go to the HarroldWashingtonFoundation.com.
Thank you. He didn't say the Harold Washington Culture Center, y'all. He said the Harold Washington Foundation. Anita, how you doing this morning? Anita? Hello? Put her back on hold or either hang up because she's gone. Mansung, how you doing this morning?
Hey, soldier still standing, sister.
All right.
Hey, Asante Sana for the invitation to the, I came up, but I was busy passing out information for African Liberation Day. Had been working all day and just didn't have the energy to come in, but I know y'all had a great time.
A wonderful time. Thank you.
Yeah. Listen, I opened with a brief quote from Amos Wilson, and I just wanted to announce Worldwide African Liberation Day. Amos Wilson in his book, The Blueprint for Black Power, says, quote, "The white man oppresses African peoples because he possesses the power to do so. The black man is oppressed because he has not developed the power to prevent his oppression. His oppression will end when the power of his oppressor is countered by his own power." So that is to say, that reparations, the fight for reparations, and the ongoing fight to realize Pan-Africanism are two important objectives that will bring power and resources to Africans the world over. So today is Worldwide African Liberation Day, my family. The All-African People's Revolutionary Party will be hosting. Last night they hosted the International Symposium on Africa at Chicago State University. Today
hurry up,
we
my
have
engineer
the,
is telling me I got to go. Hurry up.
Okay, today we have the March and Rally at the Winnie Mandela Alternative School, High School, 79th and Jeffrey.
Okay,
12 noon we march, you know, to demonstrate solidarity with Africa.
79th and what now? 79th and what?
7847. It's a big parking
78th
lot.
And what now?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, at what time I got to go?
12 noon to about 6 p.m.
Okay.
You know, a marching rally, food, vendors, and all education and so
all right.
forth. So.
Okay. Talk of Chicago 1690 WVON. This is Dorothy Wright Tillman, a call for tea and a conversation with me. We're having a good time here, y'all. We're talking about a lot of things relating to black folks. And we're getting ready, preparing y'all for the Tulsa Massacre that happened on the 31st of May in 1921. We're going to be really dealing with it next week. I'm going to try to get someone from Tulsa. We're also talking about a lot of other things pertaining to black people. I want you to call everybody and wake them up. I told you I was looking at this Chinese station early this morning and looking at 61 million, those kids sitting over there without their parents being there and all the things they're doing. You know, we raised the question, now everybody come over here, they can develop communities, they can get resources, and we cannot. So we're just raising the question about being in a lot of things. Have you been in the war? And how are you going to celebrate Memorial Day? There was a lot of soldiers in Tulsa that decided to stand up. Why don't you think black folks go to the service anymore? So what's going on in our community? What about the schools? What do you think about this whole thing about last night with the mayor and everybody? Corey Brooks talking about so many thousand men being on the street. And he says he's patterning after Deacon of the Fist. We will talk about the Deacon of the Fist. So 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. We're also on iHeartRadio. Get your coffee, get your tea. Wake up, everybody. Come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
WVON.com. The website. Check it out. The talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation is 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
NBC News Radio, I'm Kristen Welker. At the White House, seven people are dead in Santa Barbara, California. At least seven others injured in a shooting spree with nine crime scenes. Santa Barbara County Sheriff Bill Brown.
This is still a very active investigation, and as you can imagine, a very chaotic series of crime scenes.
The gunman is among the dead. It appears his wounds are self-inflicted. Firefighters in Arizona are battling a wildfire in a scenic northern Arizona canyon north of Flagstaff. NBC's Jenna Wolf says they expect it to triple in size today.
900 firefighters are on the scene trying to protect about 300 homes.
Here at the White House, the administration is absorbing a new poll on the health care overhaul. The Associated Press GFK poll finds just 28% of Americans are in support of the law, while 43% are opposed. The numbers show why it has become a staple issue for Republicans, hoping to take back the Senate in the midterm elections. This is NBC News Radio. Pope Francis has arrived in Jordan to begin his three-day trip to the Holy Land. NBC's Ann Thompson is with him.
This is a very ambitious trip for the 77-year-old Pope Francis. From Jordan, he's going to go to the Palestinian territories and then Israel. He will make 13 speeches, and he will celebrate three masses, all in just 3 days.
On this Veterans Day weekend, one organization in Colorado is holding its first-ever pot giveaway for vets. Operation Grow for Vets is holding the event in Denver. If you have a valid VA ID card, you can get a gift bag with pot and other related items. And a private party at Versailles, a girls' night out in Paris, a glam gathering at Valentino's French Chateau. It's all leading up to the big event, this weekend's wedding of Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. Reports indicate they've rented out a 16th century fortress as one venue for the affair. His first marriage, her third. I'm Kristen Welker, NBC News Radio.
The garage floor, a foundation for the cardboard you lie on, under your car, wrench in hand, a place to rest a cold beverage and put Saturday to good use. So Advance Auto Parts lets you order your parts online at advanceautoparts.com and pick them up in store in just 30 minutes.
so you can get back to the garage doing what you love. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back to the garage.
Visit AdvanceAutoParts.com to learn more.
If you're a 50-year-old male with type 2 diabetes, $500,000 of term life insurance is about $100 a month. Everyone needs affordable term insurance regardless of health. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, overweight, or have high blood pressure. For affordable term life for you, call Big Lou at 800-285-4954. 800-285-4954.
Hey, it's Matty Matt, everybody. The beginning of the year is a good time to think about making some improvements on your home. If you need professional consultation on home improvement matters, Pyramid General Construction Company is the choice for you. Give them a call right now at 773-804-9999 and let their experts come out to inspect your home. Look, you know the great work that they do on the outside of your building, roofing, gutter, shingles, soffit fascia, and more. But what about the inside of your house? Kitchens and bathrooms improve the value of your home, and nobody does it better than Pyramid. European-style kitchens and luxury bathrooms. And if you're experiencing any water damage to drywall or your ceiling, Pyramid General Construction Company is the choice. Give them a call, 773-804-9999. I've been relying on Pyramid General Construction Company for years, and I encourage you to do the same. Pyramid General Construction Company, 773-804-9999.
This is Cliff Kelly. Now's the time to buy at Kingdom Chevy. Take advantage of the $2,000 rebate on all full-size Impalas. That means you can get a new Impala with increased cabin space for less than the MSRP. Buy a new sporty Malibu at Kingdom Chevy and take advantage of up to $2,500 incentives. Both the new Impalas and Malibus have a brand new body style. The newly renovated Kingdom Chevy dealership at 66 and Western is putting dreams in driveways. Check out the huge inventory of new and certified used Chevys online at KingdomChevy.com or call 773-432-3000. That's 773-432-3000. KingdomChevy.com or visit the showroom at 66 and Western. Tell them Cliff Kelly sent you.
Greetings. This is Ava Muhammad. Join me every Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. as I discuss the major issues impacting you. I regularly have experts, celebrities, and activists on as guests sharing their insight and perspective. Most importantly, I invite you to join the conversation each and every Sunday and share your opinion at 4 p.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hey, it's Maddie Maticus, and I want you to know that Toyota on Western is your new and used car superstore. I've driven a Toyota for over 7 years, and it's the most reliable car I've ever had. Toyota has a long and solid reputation. Add to that the amazing customer service at Toyota on Western, and you'd be crazy to go anywhere else. Toyota on Western has new and used quality cars you can rely on. Of course, you can't go wrong with a new Toyota, and every used car at Toyota on Western comes with a certified inspection, so you know you're buying quality. Listen to my show every day at 8:29 a.m. for the Toyota on Western Car of the Week. Toyota on Western at 69th and Western. Give them a call today at 773-884-7200. That's 773-884-7200 or online at toyotaonwestern.com.
Ladies, it's time for WVON's annual Speak Sister Speak Women's Business Forum on Thursday, June 5th. We'll be at the DuSable Museum of African American History, 740 East 56th Place, as we explore one of the most pressing issues facing career women today. Our theme, Operation Plan B, What's Your Next Power Move? From the glass ceiling to a leaner and meaner corporate America to becoming your own boss, women are exploring other options on their road to financial security. Be there when we present an inspiring panel of women business leaders. All the way from Dallas, Texas, see the dynamic Dr. Venus Opal Reese. Meet 21-year-old entrepreneur Jordan Gaines, who is building an empire one delicious cake layer at a time. See Fashion Fair's new president, Amy Hilliard, and powerhouse author, Kimberla Lawson-Roby. Speak, Sister Speak is the ultimate girls' night out with a purpose. This exclusive event is open to only 100 WVON listeners. Ladies, log on to WVON.com and click the Speak Sister Speak banner to register. It all happens Thursday, June 5th at the DuSable Museum, beginning with a networking reception at 5:30 p.m., followed by the panel discussion. It's moderated by WVON's own Perry Small. Speak Sister Speak is presented by PNC Bank.
Join the Harold Washington Cultural Center as we celebrate June Black Music Month with an encore performance of Cooley High the Musical live Saturday, June 28th and Sunday, June 29th. For tickets, log on to BroadwayInBronzeville.com or call 773-373-1900. Enter code WVON for a special community discount. This is one show you don't want to miss. Cooley High live at the Harold Washington Cultural Center, presented by Ed Ford Jewelers. See you at the theater.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the talk of Chicago.
Days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I don't mind, I don't mind, I don't mind. I've been to the mountaintop. He allowed me, God allowed me to go up, and I looked over and I seen the promised land. I seen the promised land. I might not get that with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. So when you get those contracts or when you get that business or when you get them to treat you like you're supposed to be treated on the playing sports or anything else, maybe you reach back and rebuild communities. It is 7 o'clock and it is that time, wherever you are in the country, in the world, in the state, in the city. Courtney and Ebony, take that deep breath. It is that time. Black, 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 black. One more time. Black, 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 black. Don't that feel good? I don't know why black folks have a hard time being black. Not all black folks. You got to belong to somebody. I tell you, you got to belong to some race or somebody. If not, you're all by yourself. I'm proud to be who I am because of who God made us. And all life came from a black woman, and that's why we are very, you know, black people are very, I said, we have empathy for people because we are their parents. You know, so it's kind of something. But anyway, we're doing, I talked this morning about the Tulsa Massacre. For those who just came and joined me in my 7 o'clock hour, I want you to study the Tulsa Massacre that happened on the 31st of May in 1921 when they dropped a bomb on Tulsa. And that, not to mention Rosewood and all the rest of them and all our communities. So you can understand and know, because you don't know about Tulsa, the Black Wall Street, or none of the other stuff. You think, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Every time blacks have ever moved in this country, this government have moved to destroy us. When Tulsa had their whole community, they had everything there. And you know, as I was been studying the Tulsa when I was working very closely with them, one of the things, one of the little old guys who was bombing them, one of the white guys, said, my God, look what all they got. We know they had all this. They dropped a bomb. Don't forget to find that for me, Courtney. They dropped a bomb. They had people in pig pens. They killed people. They had people in helicopters dropping bombs all on top of black folks. We're the only group of people in this country that America have historically and consistently made laws against. Nobody else have had laws made against them like we have. You can't go to school. You can't do this. You can't do that. And now the laws are still there. They don't say it. They just do it. They close your schools. And he wanted to close 100 schools at first. He's still doing it slowly. Or they have you taking your children to school every day and don't have the resources in there for them to be able to compete in this global world, and then tell you that something's wrong with your child because your child can't read or can't do this. My Dr. McCray, who's my eye doctor, and we were talking. He said, Ms. Tillman, that first through third, you learn how to read. After third grade, you read to learn. And then they start messing with our children in terms of reading to learn. And folks, we ought to have our own school. The majority of the black people go to public schools. So it's all right. Yes, we should. But our taxes are paying for those schools. They're building all these new schools with our taxes. I was looking at the Chinese station this morning. I look at everything, y'all. Y'all just keep y'all station on one station. You may say, well, I'm going to just look at this. No, you got to look at everything. And I was watching the I was looking at the Chinese station, 61 million. This in this province of China, in this particular area, 61 million of the youth was living, the students were living on the aerial squatter, really. And they really wasn't that much school. They having a hard time, their grandparents trying to raise them while their mom was around and looking. And to look at their area, they were saying a lot of them getting gangs and do things because of their education, because of this and that, and they were trying to deal with it. So you think you're like, you're all alone in terms of what's going on. And then people come over here, and they look like kings and queens. But not us, because there have been a consistent effort to hold us down. Chicago is a community of ethnicity, community, you know, ethnic group. They believe in, you got Greektown, in Chinatown. Now you got all the other stuff up north. You know, you got little villages, little this, and now, and no other community are being depopulated or destroyed like our community. Don't y'all have? But yet and still, you blame yourself. And you can't fight back because you're not strategically looking at what's going on with us. You know, Matt was talking about economic development the other day. I called, but I didn't get a chance. And I was supposed to call him back the next day. I didn't, because we need to talk about that, that whole economic development thing. And some of you call and say, well, people need to put their money together. Yes, you do. But leadership. Your leadership is supposed to be like these other folks. You can't do anything without a plan. You put the plan together and say, we want this, a community to work in, to play in, to live in, to sleep in, if you leave the community if you want to make resources available to those people who want to build, those people who want to get businesses, things like that. You build a community like that. That's what we were doing when we were in office. And I'm going to release my plan one day. We were working on that real hard when we were trying to make sure. And, you know, you put in place the same thing they do, redevelopment plans. And 47th Street and all that had to be, I think Pat must have read, I got to go see that they legally change it, because if they didn't legally change it, the things they're doing in that redevelopment area is illegal. Well, we had said we want to build hotels, we want to build businesses, we want to build housing. And if you go on 45th and Champlain or St. Lawrence, you're going to see all those houses we had them black folks to build. We were working our way over. If you go on 44th and Vincennes, you'll see the first greenhouse that we built with Julian Dawson. and you and we began to young men and women start coming. They wanted to put businesses in the community. We was putting money available for them to be able to do that, to build community. That don't mean that you hate anybody else. It's building community. When you go down there in the South Loop Hotel, I built that the first suite because we knew we could build a suite and it could work. We also had plans for the 51st Street for a hotel. You know, a conference in a hotel had brought people in. 39th Street on State Street was all it was a whole community marching all the way over west. But you have to put the plan together, and then you work on that plan. But you can't build a community when you got a representative over here just getting a little money to do this and another one over here doing that. They have to collectively build communities. But what happened in our community, some of our leaders, and I don't want to blankly say all because you got some that's trying to fight and have no help. This is some of the most powerful position they've been in. They have not experienced power before, and that's not power because they're giving it all away. And so they'll use that power to keep down other black folks. It is hard as hell for a black person to get a license in the city of Chicago, look like anything else, even though they have black representation. A zoning change, it's like, oh, no, you can't have that. And then someone from outside the community come in, oh, yes, 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 what do you want? Make no sense to me. So I'm going to come back on with Matt at another time. That's why I wanted to talk to him, because we can't say we need to do this. No, you can't do that. A business person cannot build a business in this community, in this city, by themselves. You have to have a total plan to build community. And they don't want us to have plans for our community, and that's why they are destroying. When you ever thought that you would hear that South Shore would be a food desert? That don't make no sense to me. One of the most richest areas is with the water and everything else, and they're moving folks out. And what they're doing is they're depopulating black folks, repopulating with some of those communities that have fallen and fell in other countries, white communities. And most of the folks, whites in your community, are from foreign countries. They're not. So when you hear them talking about immigration, y'all think it's all about the Hispanic community. It's not about that either. It's not all about that. It's about a lot of those white countries that they're bringing in, and they're just feeding them in. So when you see, because of your post-traumatic slavery syndrome, when you see white folks in your community moving around, you think they're going to move in. No, they're bringing them in. They're bringing those folks who ain't got from the Ukraine, all them different places where they done fail. And then I was looking at another station this morning, and I saw they're having a hell of a fight over there with the U.K. over there and Ukraine over there with the parties over there in Europe. They're fighting there. You got the Conservative Party and all the rest of them fighting. They're fighting them, but they're going to stop immigration. So I watched the political fight on them this morning, too. You know, I like to do that kind of stuff. But it's a lot of stuff going on. But you got to feel better about yourself to be able to fight. When anybody or lie or system, we have a right to education. You be joining Jonathan, all these parents that's fighting. They're just pushing us, and they're pushing us so far. When do you fight back? That's the question. When do you fight back? Good morning, Maurice. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, beautiful black woman. You've been behaving yourself. Good for you. Good for you. God gonna bless you.
Thank you.
Look, quick question. What becomes of a rich white man when you take away his wealth?
He become a... You don't want me to say what I want to say. I can't say that. I might get in trouble. I get Melody in trouble.
You have to. That's a good thing.
Okay.
Look, he becomes a poor white man.
Oh, well, yes, but I was going to say
black
something.
Black Wall Street and listening to other media. Good point, Stuart, this morning, Dorothy.
Thank you.
We need to become familiar with Black Wall Street because if we did it once, we can do it again.
But you know what, Maurice, but there was a move to make sure it doesn't happen. And it can't be individually. That's why they bombed it. And that's why you collectively began to move. Because if you look at what I was doing over there in 3, I was building black wealth in 3. And they moved.
You spent $1 million to get you up out of there. I wish I had $1 million back in.
They never spent over that much money in the ward, but it wasn't about me a personal thing. It was about building wealth for black people and saying that 70%.
Every dollar we get is a dollar they don't get.
Mm-hmm.
Every acre of land we get is an acre they don't get.
Right.
In America, it's about the dollars. It's about the dirt. You were getting the dollars. You were getting the dirt. You were a serious threat.
Yeah. Well, it's something. Thank you, Maurice.
All right, bye.
Thank you. You know, I told the black alderman, let me see, third ward, Second War, which was Matlin had over there, had a lot of land on the west side. The 16th War, which was Coleman, Trotman, myself, and back over in 24. Most of the land in the city was represented by black folks. And I said, God is not going to make no more land. We have the land, and we have power within that land. And we got to make sure that we utilize this correctly. But you got to understand that in order to be able to do it. It's kind of a, you know, you have to understand that. Marie, Anita, this time, if you're not there this time, I'm about to let you go.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I came to you early. You wasn't there, so you got a few minutes.
Yeah, I put my phone on mute sometimes, and I forgot to put it on mute.
Uh-huh.
What I wanted to say was when I see a lot of Oriental women here, they always look at me really, really like we're going to get what you had. This is where I feel. We're going to get what you all have, even though I know you're more qualified to have it. I would not say that the other people coming over here are innocent. They know.
Oh, no, they're not innocent. They're running over here to. I mean, the question, you come over here and you build and you do and we can't. Something is wrong with that. And that's not because we're inferior. That's what we keep saying is because this government subsidizes other folks who come here to build their communities. And they de-subsidize. They don't give us nothing. They fight us for every penny. And, in fact, they talk about blacks being on welfare when more white folks and brown folks are on welfare than black folks. But black folks even perpetuate that darn lie.
Now, have you ever seen the Chinese or the Mexicans invite the black people over there and give them a whole bunch of welfare and tell them, okay, come on, you know, we're going to help you out, and you have a husband taking care of you? No, that's stupid for black women to want to take care of other women when the white men never took care of us after they had children with us. So to take care of some other man's wife and help her out, that doesn't even make sense. And the women know that it's wrong. And you know what? And it's sad to say this about the women of the other countries. Why would you want to come over here and be the prostitute for the white man?
Well, you are. Wait a minute now. Don't say that. All of them are not being prostitutes. But the question is, not you can't just talk in abstract, Anita. Like I said, I was watching. Listen to me. I was looking at the Chinese channel this morning about 4 o'clock this morning. They did this whole piece on what was going on, all the squatter and all those folks not having nothing, and how the women everything. Well, they come over here for a better life, and they get a better life because America helped everybody get a better life for black people. It's just that simple.
Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. If we came to their country, would they do that for us, knowing what happened to us here?
Some folks would do it to others before they do it to you. Thank you, Anita. That's my nonviolent stuff. I'm sorry, y'all. Dr. King, if you listening, I didn't mean it. They say do it to others before they do it to you, Marvin. How you doing from the west side?
Hey, Doug.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going today?
You got it, my brother.
My sister, you blessed. Well, blessed by the best this morning.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm telling you, this is we got the power.
Okay.
Like your guy Charles Bevel on that record said, we got the power.
We got the power.
Got the power that's in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna tell you, the power structure, especially the white people, know that we have that the power in our hearts. That's why in a lot of those states where they're restricting voting.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to make sure that we never get that kind of
vote. Well, I want to talk about that for a second, Marvin. And you might just see, you got to look at this voting thing in two different ways. This voting thing is a distraction of ours. I believe that anybody that votes should have, they should have identification. That's how you got a lot of fraudulent folks who are not even legalized citizens who vote, and they work against us. So I believe that you should, I don't know nobody who don't have no identification. You don't leave home without it. Now, these other things they're doing is wrong. I can't go with them moving and voting, changing voting laws and things like that. But in terms of identification, I think anybody that votes should have identification.
That's right. We should have identification.
I know a bunch of them went and voted that shouldn't have been voting when I was running. I know a lot of them now. See, and then they vote two and three times different places. You got identification. You can't go two and three places. The dead can't vote, and the other folks can't vote. We better have some kind of
name. We got to. But what I'm saying is we have the power to stop a lot of things. We have the power to include a lot of things. That's why I keep bringing up this book that should be on the market for a lot of people, especially young people. It's called The Autobiography of Black Politics with Dempsey Travis.
Mm-hmm.
They let you know about what happened during those times with all the politics that went on back then from 1800s all the way up to 1987, where we went wrong and where we can do.
And you know what have happened, Marvin? They have stripped when they could destroy Stroger, but still have Burke and all them Cullerton and all them other folks still in place. They stripped Stroger and to make sure that he never again. See, a lot of black folks that was in office, they have built middle class community, but they have really strategically made sure that you have no power. You can't think of, when you think of Harold Washington, when you think of Cornelius Davis and Stroger and you Metcalf, nobody
That's
even
right.
talk about Metcalf. And they have just strategically stripped us and began to build another kind of power. It's deep. Thank you so much. I don't think we understand, and that's the sad thing. Karma, how you doing? From where are you? Okay, Karma.
This is Carmen from Elmwood Park, Miss.
Oh, how you doing, Karma?
How are you doing this morning? I tell you, Miss Dorothy, you are educating us like nobody business. I mean, you're taking us all the way to the moon.
Thank you.
With this topic and this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say, you know, I'm a baby of the 60s when Martin Luther King was marching and everything,
yeah.
and that was such a good time for everybody. We had a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime it seems like we get a great leader, they kill them.
Right.
And also, I just want to say history repeats itself. We're just repeating itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before civil rights, we had all black everything.
Yes.
What happened in Tulsa was a disgrace.
And I want to miss me, you know, in Carmel.
People were so rich
yes.
and so vibrant. They was trading with London, with the Europeans and everything. They had it so high. And a lot of us don't even know our history.
And you know what, but you know what they'll say. And that's by design. And even in these
yes.
public schools, that we know everybody's history but our own. Even though,
yes.
When Senator Shaw passed the bill that black history must be taught in the school, Barbara Bird Bennett told that lie about what she's going to be doing. And then it's not going to be the real history. And if you
right.
keep us dumb, then we keep feeling like we less than who we are, Karma.
That's right. And Miss Tillman, may I say something?
Yes.
I just saw a documentary 2 weeks ago. It's called Hidden Colors.
Yeah, I've
I
seen
don't
that.
Know if you saw that.
Yeah, someone brought it to
we
me. I've seen it.
On Earth.
Yeah. Hidden Colors.
I didn't even know anything about the Moors.
Yeah, somebody brought me the documentary Hidden Colors. Not only did I watch it, my son last summer played it for the students that he was working with at the center.
I had six people, and I'm trying to get more people to get that tape because
yeah.
it is so enlightening.
I
went to work with my chest stuck out, and I said, I ain't no do it.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah. Thank you, Karma. I think about Courtney, I want to play, they dropped a bomb on the Gap Band. You know, when the Gap Band wrote, they dropped a bomb on us, y'all didn't understand what it means, you know. But they were talking about the bomb from the bomb that happened in Tulsa. This is the Gap, y'all. They dropped a bomb on us. They were talking about Greenwood and Vaughn. This was about Black Wall Street, y'all. You dropped a bomb on me.
You dropped a bomb on me.
Hey.
You dropped a bomb on me. Baby, you dropped a bomb on me.
They were from the Tulsa community.
You were my kid. You dropped a bomb on me. You turned me up. You turned me on. You turned me loose. And you turned me wrong. You dropped a bomb on me. You dropped a bomb on me. But you turned me up. You dropped a bomb on me. Baby, you dropped a bomb on me. Just like Adam and Eve, as you set me free, you took me to the sky I've never been.
Y'all
so
don't
high.
Understand. I was about to talk to y'all.
You were my friend. You were my hope. You were my hope. You dropped a bomb. You hey. Dropped a bomb on me. You dropped a bomb on me. But you turned me up. You dropped a bomb on me. Baby, you dropped a bomb on me. But you turned me on. You dropped a
Bob Tulsa, y'all. They're from that community. That's what Gap stand for. Greenwood. You dropped the bomb on me. You know, the Gap band was from Greenwood. They whole thing spell out the Greenwood community. You know, it was 11,000 residents in Greenwood. Remember, they destroyed 11,000 people lived in that little community, and they had everything it was to live and to be. And they dropped a bomb. They dropped a bomb on black folks because some little white girl said a black man had looked at her. Made no sense that a young black man attacking a white girl, they said, yeah, there was an element. Oh, no, this black man did that. And 2,000 white men invaded the community. 2,000 of them went in there and invaded the black community, and they attacked black men and women and children, burning and looting their businesses and homes. And the police joined in with the mob. They armed, they deputized them, and they went in, and then the government went up there and with helicopters and dropped bombs all over the people and then put them all in fences and cages and all kinds of, they built them makeshift jails and things. See, people don't know about that. It was like a thriving community, but the next day, Greenwood lay in ruins. They left hundreds of people murdered, homeless. 1,000 homes and businesses were turned into ashes. It was estimated over 300 people was murdered by the mob, damaged, and they lost was estimated $5 million. That was a lot of money during that time. Next week, May 31st, is the anniversary of the massacre. So I want you to understand when y'all be talking about, we need to do this for ourselves. You got to put this stuff in perspective and see how these people are doing off. It's always about some little white guy. He looked at me, he did this. And they deputized. I know about that deputizing because when we're in the civil rights movement, Sheriff Clarkin used to go throughout the country and say, you got a gun? You got a horse? I'm not deputizing. Let's go get us some niggers. And they'll come after us. And that's what they did. And no white was ever charged or punished for the massacre. And what's so interesting, y'all need to understand, is the grand jury blamed African Americans for causing the slaughter. When they convened the grand jury, they said they blamed them for causing, they blamed our people. That doesn't make no sense. It's really something. John Rogers' family was part of that. His family ran to Chicago. A lot of black folks would even say that they were there. They were scared that somebody was going to still get them. It was really something. John Hope Franklin's father was one of those lawyers that was there fighting and stuff. It was this dude. It was called the Red Summer, and that's because blood was flowing. And not only doing that, and, you know, during that year, you have to understand that was almost like a move on us. Many American towns and cities experienced racial clashes during that time. It was really deep. And the massacre, you know, hundreds was killed and at least 10 black World War I veterans, while still in uniform, got killed since we celebrate Veterans Day. Let's go back to the phone, y'all. Just want to give y'all a little bit of something so y'all can know what's going on here. Just trying to give it to you. Naso, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Alderman Tillman. I'm doing great. Yourself?
All right.
First of all, let me just commend Jim Alita. Tillman on the superlative work that she does at the Harold Washington Cultural Center.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. And also, you know, kudos to the young people that are going to California, L.A., and then those are going to New York.
Yeah, they're going to the Tony's next month. She's taking something to Tony's.
Yes, so kudos to them. And but just a fantastic show last week. The drill team, the young drill team, they were, the young men were flawless, and Pebbles is always fantastic. And then Majesty Pearson, what a voice.
Oh, wasn't she great?
What a voice, absolutely. But the entire program was extremely well done and fantastic and magnificent, so hats off to everybody in you know, the production, everybody that's connected.
But you know what I was happy about? I didn't know Aramie, my son. Aramie been there at that Harold Washington, and he went on to New York to Broadway, and the one that did on Broadway. He came back and he got those young folks together. He did that Broadway. I was glad to see Aramie.
Oh yes, and then your I believe Ebony's daughter is involved in that, and I spoke with her and some of the young people.
I had three of my granddaughters involved in that.
So if they're listening, kudos, ladies, and keep up the great work, and all of you keep up the great work in school. But Alderman Tillman, Mel Sam mentioned Memorial Day coming up, and it's very important that that we recognize here in Chicago the 8th Regiment, that armory on 3533, what it is now called Giles, but at the time it was called Forest Avenue. It was the only armory that was built exclusively for a black regiment. And that
it is Bronzeville Military Academy now.
Absolutely. And it was built between 1914 and 1915. And the street Giles was named in honor of Lieutenant George L. Giles, who fought with the 8th Regiment during World War I. And and that statue was built in honor of those great heroic men.
You know, Mr. Griffin, when he was alive from Griffin Funeral Home, always made sure that those black soldiers got their due.
Oh, that's...
You remember Mr. Griffin? Griffin from Griffin Funeral Home?
I remember that.
Because he was a veteran. He always did something. And Pickens was one that made sure that Giles, that school got turned into a military academy. In fact, I have a grandchild that goes there.
Oh, yes. But anyway, just wanted to share that history. And then, you know, in closing, you know, this Monday is Mamie Smith's birthday. Mamie Smith, as you know, was a...
I got to go now.
Okay, all right.
I gave you three. I got to go. Okay, thank you. Okay. Mason will give me 50 different things. I got to let him stay where he got to stay. How you doing, Hardy?
Hi, Alderman Tillman.
Hi.
Oh, look, you talk about the causes, but you never talk about the effects. The United States in World War II...
You got to slow up. You're talking... Hey. Slow up. Slow up, I keep going too fast. Now, the causes were not what?
You always talk about the effects, but you never talk about the causes. The United States won World War II, right? Harry Truman integrated the military, and then the United States lost the Korean War and the Vietnam War. Blacks are just not limited. You identify as the opposite point of view.
Where are you from?
Go back to Africa.
Where are your people from? Where are your people from?
I'm Irish.
You Irish? Well, you need to go back to Ireland because, you know, we built this country. We built this country, and some of y'all came over on the boat to come over here. We built the country. You had no place to be had we not built the country. Y'all was over there with y'all potato famine, so don't talk that mess to me. Go talk to somebody else's show. So I'm not going to be that nice to you. Sorry. Hello, Lawrence. How you doing?
Hello. Yes, I was commenting that you watched that movie Rosewood.
Yes.
It really illustrates exactly what happened to our people in that Tulsa.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That movie is exactly about what it really happened to us, how they took over our town,
right,
how they raped and killed our people. When we came over here, we the only people that didn't immigrate here. We didn't ask.
No, we're not immigrants. We're forced. We were forced immigrants for free labor.
Yes, and the reason is because we are more valuable than gold. Mm-hmm. We are more valuable than silver and diamonds. Right now, Africa is three times bigger than America and 10 times richer. and they are going over there under the auspices of terrorism, and they're stealing and kidnapping our children and putting them right back into slavery and telling you that the Muslims are doing it.
Well, you know what you got to do, Lawrence, is look at, you don't get emotional, but look at the Horn of Africa. You know, under this administration, after they killed Gaddafi, they moved the general over there in the Horn of Africa because he had to kill Gaddafi to destabilize Africa. Gaddafi was pulling together the United African community. He was making them independent. So they killed Gaddafi to destabilize, and they put some generals in the Horn of Africa. And I was watching this morning over there, all the chaos is going on over there around the Horn of Africa. So that's why they murdered Gaddafi. Folks can't forget that when they went into Libya and they murdered, when they did all the destruction to Libya, that really, really, really destabilized Africa. We should not forget that. We just want to forget because President Obama's in the White House. But Obama went over, and he had no problem with destroying Gaddafi, and that was the worst mistake in the world.
And the reason why is because these are African nations. We are kings.
Yeah,
the Bible says that we are the Hebrew Israelite people, but the Jews have taken and stolen our heritage and our language and took it for themselves.
Well, if you don't know who you are, you try to be anything, and anything to step on you. So we got to make sure, and that's, you know, we got to try to make sure our people who are sick and suffering from post-traumatic, that we teach them. Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you so much. Okay, Lavette, how you doing?
Good morning, Dorothy. You put that Irish right in his spot.
Yeah, because you know what happened, you know.
You are Queen of Zinga, for real.
But you know what I want to tell him is that during the slavery, when we were doing Jim Crow and we were getting all this cotton, and the Irish girls, that's why they call them the Golden Girls. They was over there. They take the cotton to England, and the Irish girl was turning the cotton into threads. And then they came over on the boat. We came out on the boat together. One of them was on the. They said we was on the lower level of it. And they went over there, and they began. They got paid a few dollars. And I know he's still listening. That's why I'm telling you this. They got to pay a few dollars to turn this cotton into thread. And that's why you got Wall Street. Because you had the Chemical Bank and all these other stuff, and that's why you got Wall Street, because of them Irishmen turning into thread, but black folks with free labor.
Well, I just wanted to just touch on, because I know you got to be real fast with you. I wanted to say I watch those shows, too, that you're watching.
Uh-huh.
And I love to watch those other cultures.
Right.
Somehow I started watching about the Civil War,
mm-hmm.
and we are just pawns in the white man's game, because
mm-hmm.
when they came over, they slaughtered each other. The Ukraine.
Oh, they doing. They look, they doing some dogmatic stuff to each other right now.
And so now we are. This is the end result of their war and the government that they created that we're in, and it's all about their empowerment. And so I was talking to Ebony about some things, and my daughter went to apply for housing, and she was told she had to be an immigrant. And when Heartland Alliance's program brings those immigrants in, they put them in our community, and they don't pay rent for 2 years.
Taxes
so
and nothing else.
People look at our homeless, and mm-hmm. they look down upon them. We are taxpayers that can't even put our own people in housing. And I want to say that a mayor just made 23,000 positions available
for immigrants.
For the DREAM Act kids,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be an immigrant.
Well, you know, Dr. King said that a man can't ride your back if it's not bent, and I'm calling on black folks to straighten up their backs to get everybody up off. Thank you so much. A man can't ride your back if it's not bent. Straighten your backs up. Straighten your backs up. D, how you doing from the west side?
Sister, all I can say is God is still on the throne.
Oh, he's on the throne.
I'm telling you, it's something. But there was a statement made years ago. Somebody said, I don't think you probably, how long? How long? And the answer was not long.
That was Dr. King. How long, not long?
Look how long ago that was. I just want to make this statement. This is prime time for a lot of our young people. And I see these young ladies, they want to look nice at their proms. They want nice dresses. And I see the men, they want to wear, young men want to wear those nice suits and Taz, and they rent a limousine and take their girls out, and they don't have the money. You know, how long, Sister Dorothy? All I can say, I feel sorry for our children.
We can't feel sorry. We got to get to work and not feel sorry. Feeling sorry don't do nothing. Don't feel sorry. Let's work.
Dorothy, we should all be middle class by now. It should be no poor blacks. It should be all middle class. We've been here over 400 years. How long, Sister?
Not long, Dee. Thank you so much. How long? Not long. How long? Not long. Plano, how you doing? Is it because I'm black?
Black,
Courtney. Is it because I'm black? Black.
I just listened to the caller. How long? Not long. I love when Martin Luther King say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my thing is said, Sister Tilman, you know how I feel about you. I'm just so tired of this mayor using our people with Cory Brooks and all them. I'm just tired of him. He's doing this for re-election.
Well, you know, he met the president the other day and slapped him on the back. He think that's going to help.
Yeah.
The way, if you want help from the black community, give us resources. And mm-hmm. and what happened is they used people to misguide our people. And nobody's going to respect you if you don't demand some. And they mm-hmm. and all this grinning and skinning, grinning when it ain't funny and scratching when you're not itching and jumping up and down when ain't nothing to jump about, got to go.
But Sister Tilman, who we can put against a black?
Don't worry about it. Don't be saying no who. That's what let you start from. We are gonna be all right. Ain't no who. What we got to do is register and then say, this is what we demand. Don't feel like a victim. Okay, mm-hmm. We ain't no victim. We got strength. Stand up and fight. Thank you so much. Is it because I'm black? Is it because I'm black? That's what I'm telling y'all. Theo Johnson got to sing it for me. Is it? Black is beautiful, y'all. Black is beautiful.
Only add color to my tears.
Come on, Phil.
Oh, oh. That splash against my hollow bones. That rocks my soul.
Oh, Phil is from Mississippi and been part of the nation forever.
Looking back over my false dreams that I once knew.
Woo!
Wondering why my dreams never came true. Is it because I'm black?
Ooh, that's right.
Somebody tell me, what can I do?
That's why they bombed Tulsa, y'all, May 31st, 1921.
Something is holding me back.
Yeah.
Is it because I'm black? Yeah.
You don't know who you are.
In this world of no pity, I was raised in the ghettos of the city.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Sing it, Phil. Phil telling y'all.
Mama, she worked so hard to earn.
Seeing the white folks out and scrubbing their floors, y'all, taking care of their children.
Oh, Lord. Something is holding me back.
Uh-huh. Hey.
Is it because I'm black?
That music, y'all, our children and our people playing their music. You saw the award last week, not one black person won. You can't play music no more. Black folks can't sing. They can't dance. They can't play music no more. Hey, y'all, something holding us back is because I'm black. Mama D, how you doing?
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Didn't the leaders of the colorless race drop a bomb in Philadelphia on the Move people?
The Move got a bomb dropped on them. Yes, they did.
And that was in, like, recent times, and Mamiya is still in jail.
Yes, he is.
He was a journalist that wrote about the injustice of that situation.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes y'all God moves in. They dropped a bomb on them, and it burned up the whole block.
Yes, it did. I remember that. That was an awful day that day.
Yeah, I think they killed
children and all.
Because they wore dreadlocks, mm-hmm. and they didn't like the fact that they wasn't bowing down to the powers that be.
Yeah. Thank you, Mama D.
They just exterminated them like a bunch of roaches. But I wanted you to know that on Monday, I filed in federal court, I filed a complaint against the United States of America demanding reparatory justice and a jury trial for their failure to restore my African identity and nationality so I can be made whole and overcome the continuing injury of untreated heart and mind damage pursuant to Title 18, Section 1091 of the Crossmire Act.
Okay. All right, Mama. Do you know you'd be on the case? Thank you for staying on the case, my sister.
You change the brain, you will change the behavior.
That's
and
right.
We need to teach our children how to use non-carnal weapons, because the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but have divine power for pulling down the whole armor.
That's right. Thank you so much, Principality. I tell you, it's really deep. Look, y'all, there's a lot of things that's going on in our community, and I just want to, you know, the total community, a lot of people come to me. I'm not talking about the brothers and sisters on the street doing other things. And our people are in pain. Even those who had jobs don't have jobs anymore. Or those who used to get contracts are not getting contracts anymore. We're being attacked on a lot of different fronts. There are people who used to get contracts to do this and contracts to do that. They're not getting contracts anymore. And they're walking around losing their businesses and hurting. We're hurting. And it is the first time in this country that we have hurt. And we had pain, and we could not describe our pain. First time, we could always describe our pain, always, and we could do something about it. Yes, sir, how can I help you? Yes, ma'am. Sir or ma'am?
Hello?
Yes. You're on the air.
Hello? I'm on the air? Oh, Dorothy, I wasn't trying to get on the air. I just wanted to find out when can I pick up my book I won from you. They took
Put on hold. Okay. All right. So tell Evan to get that call. So anyway, I just want y'all to know that our people are hurting, and we just have to do what we got to do here, and we just can't be scared. Dr. King said, if you're right, you can fight. Just be right. I want you to study the massacre that happened in Tulsa, May 31st, 1921, when a bomb was dropped in Tulsa. And we're going to have, I'm going to try to get somebody on the show next week to really get into this, because we really do need to talk about this. What happened? We can't let things like this go away and we don't tell our children about it. Those people had their own community. And what happened with their own community? And they decided, well, we're going to just drop this bomb because some little girl said that a black man had attacked her. 2,000 white mobs invaded the community, attacking the black men, women, and children, and burning the building, looting the building, stealing what they had. You need to understand this. And the police decided with the mob. That's who they decided and deputized them. I only have about 3 minutes. I'm going to try to go through these phones real quick. So you got 30 seconds. Hello, real quick. How can I help you?
Dorothy, this
yes.
is Washington. Call me back when you get out.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Hello. How can I help you?
And
30
and
seconds. That... 30 seconds. I was trying to. 30.
So
yes, 30 seconds.
We need to move the Mariano food store from the site at 37th Street and help Harrison in the Fifth Ward and put it into the Dominick's and the shopping center on 71st Street.
Is this Harold Lucas? This Harold Lucas?
Uh-huh. And I'm thinking beyond boundary lines, to the best interest of the South.
Well, black folks not supposed to have no imaginary boundaries.
Huh?
Black folks don't supposed to have no imaginary boundaries.
You're absolutely right. And
right.
The South Lake Preston changed from an industrial area to an outdoor recreational area, and they try to move us out. Next word beyond regentrification now, here's the next word. It's called infusion in terms of while we moving out, they moving back in.
Thank
God
you so much.
God bless you, Dorothy.
God bless you, too. Depopulation. Thank you. You've been listening to Talk of Chicago 69 WVON. We're here every Saturday. We're here every Saturday from 6 to 8, Coffee to the Conversation with me. And we try to really talk about and uplift our people. I don't want you to hold your head down. Hold your head up. You can't see nothing when you got your head held down. So if you begin to study and look at some of this other stuff, you won't feel so bad. Next week, we're going to be into Tulsa. I'm going to try to get some people from Tulsa to begin to join us. We got to talk to our people about what we had. Black Wall Street is not just talking Black Wall Street. That was really, they really had it together. We've enjoyed this discussion. Don't be fool. Don't be fool, y'all. Stand up, folks. Respect you when you stand. Man can't ride your back if it's not bent. Dorothy Wright, Tim McCoff, see you in a conversation with me every Saturday, 6 to 8, tell you. Freeze. If you missed this show, you can go back on Blog Talk, Coffee, Tea, and listen. Until next Saturday, this is Dorothy Wright, Tim, and telling you reparations now.
Children from my queen's cut to inbreed fear in us. My hands rough, my forefathers' hands got blisters. Forced to be a field hand, fire another white man. Mr. President, I'm here to represent for mine and Mother Africa in which you raped and left behind. Draining her natural resource, so to her people pay remorse or feel the force of a former slave. Kidnapped from my land, locked in chains, brought to a new world to maintain. Hard to survive while my kind's being hanged. Is it over now?
I'm a former slave. I've been shackled, been locked in chains, but somehow my soul remains. But is it over now? Over now.
I am an African descendant. Wrong to your shores, Baltimore, tell your business. Beat me till defenseless. You did this for 400 plus. And the bottom of your ships and at the back of your bus, you'll find us with a black face embedded in stuck. Survivor us of America's clutch. Enough is enough. Give us our just due. Just you didn't billet. If we configured for every crime that was committed and every bigot that got acquitted. And meanwhile and on exhibit was a black neck from a tree. We probably be millionaires equal say across the board, able to afford to rebuild and restore. Ignored was a black slave put to death with promised land on his mind and free on his breath. It's only correct, America, you cut us a check for the whip, wounds and flesh and the disrespect. For every black that was strapped with whips, for every piece of cotton picked till our fingertips turned bloody, bigger than money. Reparations is about compensation. It's time that you pay the wage for your slave occupation. Yeah, built by us. Most of half of the industry was built by us. Every stoplight and peanut gallery built by us. Everything you think they did, it was built by us.
The talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation, 1690.